From the Financial Times in New York, I'm Ben McClanahan and this is FT News. Earlier this week, Neil Kashkari announced himself as the new president of the Minneapolis Fed with an astonishing speech, essentially attacking what many have thought of as progress towards ending the too-big-to-fail regime since the financial crisis. I spoke to my colleague Sujit Indap. Here's our conversation. I want to start with the substance of the argument, which is that these vast behemoths are essentially still a menace to the system. Is he right?
Well, what I thought was most curious about the speech is how little respect he had for the progress that maybe he doesn't think is progress, but what could be deemed as progress over the last 7 years. So there's basically two ways to regulate the size of banks, or the danger of banks. One is what he calls for breaking up the banks, so no one institution is too big, and if it were to fail, it would not have a domino effect on the rest of the system. The approach that's actually been adopted in the United States is the idea of capital, increasing equity buffers in large banks, making them have so much cushion that if there was trouble, they could absorb that pain and it wouldn't spread throughout the system. So what was most interesting to me about the speech was that he had such little time or respect for those reforms and how they have worked and deemed them insufficient.
So let's talk about one of his potential remedies, which is to cut these banks down to size. I know last year J.P. Morgan had a long discussion about the benefits of splitting up, and it persuaded investors, I think, that it's worth more intact. Is that argument worth making again, do you think?
Well, what the regime has done, I was talking earlier about equity, what the regime has said is that as you get bigger, it's going to be more expensive to be big. Mm-hmm. And to your point, JP Morgan and others have said at these really large levels, we're going to be careful about growing our asset size. So you've found a backdoor way to reduce the pressure or the need to get bigger. The question is, do we need something much sharper? Does JP Morgan need to break up into 3, 4, 5 institutions? What they're going to say is that there's a lot of benefits from having a single management team. Clients like all these different products they can get. And not only do they like it, it's cheaper to have a diversified financial supermarket. And so the question is, how much more expensive would it be for clients of a bank to deal with 5 institutions rather than 1 JP Morgan?
Okay, but I think he accepts that there are technical benefits to keeping these things together, maybe. But I think he makes a nice analogy with a nuclear power station, that governments will do anything in their power to keep it ticking over in a severe crisis. And this was a guy we'll get onto later. He was in the grip of the Lehman crisis. He was right there,
right
on the doorstep of reform. But at that point, he says that you can make all the plans, all the resolution plans you want to, but in the moment of crisis, essentially governments always come to the support of this ailing nuclear power plant.
Right.
Does he have a point?
Yeah, that's a very very interesting observation. He has an experience that very few have. He was, like you said, in the midst of the meltdown, if you will, in 2008. He saw that all these rules that we thought were in place were just thrown out the window, right? There was a time when we thought Fannie and Freddie were not actually getting subsidies as government entities. And in fact, the second they ran into trouble, the government poured in $200 billion. And so he does have a unique perspective. The question is, have the remedies that we've seen in the last 7 years, have they created a situation that we don't get close to that meltdown? There's so much equity, there's so much cushion in these banks. We're not having banks that are levered 30-1 like Lehman was, okay, that we don't get to the nuclear scenario.
But one of these banks that has made a lot of progress, apparently, on improving its capital and liquidity position is Deutsche Bank. But of course, last week, when Deutsche was sort of tottering and markets were questioning sort of counterparty risk,
right,
at that moment you had the German finance minister saying, don't worry, this bank has sufficient capital. Is that just what he's talking about? This is essentially government support when we're supposed to have ended too big to fail.
Well, the question is, will the government actually step in? One of the most interesting aspects of Deutsche Bank and the European institution is they have created these bail-in securities, these convertible or CoCo bonds that reset to equity should the bank run into trouble and is not made to interest payments. So the question is that enough? Deutsche Bank has not been assumed by the government yet. It seems like it is safe. Mm-hmm. You've seen a rally in both the debt and the equity of Deutsche Bank and the other European institutions. So that equally could be thought of as evidence that the reforms are working.
And what about the person who's making this argument now? I just spoke to a big bank, and they reminded me that this is the same guy that put together JP Morgan and Washington Mutual, and now he's calling for them to be rent asunder? Does he have a credibility problem?
I think what's curious is where Neil Kashkari has come from. I mean, he was a Goldman banker for a couple of years, met Hank Paulson. They took a liking to each other. He ended up going with him to Treasury in 2006. The crisis happens. He becomes the TARP administrator, which was the government bailout program. He leaves Treasury, goes to a cabin, chops some wood, does a short stint at PIMCO, where he was in charge of the equities business, leaves that, identifies as a Republican, then runs for governor of California, loses badly, and suddenly is, and shockingly, becomes the president of the Minneapolis Fed without really any kind of formal banking or economics experience. He had a series of junior roles, which he only did for a couple of years, and all of a sudden, he comes into his first speech and makes a huge splash. And now today, if you were to ask Americans to name one Fed governor, the only one they could probably think of is Neil Kashkari, because he made a dramatic speech yesterday. So it has a lot of people scratching his head, his motives. I mean, he has adopted the position of Bernie Sanders, who is the extreme left candidate running for president. This is a guy who was running for governor of California as a Republican not too long ago. So what exactly his motives and credibility are, I think, are very much something to watch and to explore.
Do you think he's looking beyond this next, his current job into some kind of future position in government?
I think, based on his track record, we can see him as a very ambitious person. Let's put it that way.
Right, with a peripatetic career curve.
Yes.
But just finally, what does this mean then? Clearly, it's election season. There's no single candidate out there making any kind of argument for keeping these banks together. All the capital is to be made in bashing the banks. But where does this end?
So what's interesting to me is, what do shareholders say? We've talked about the perspective of taxpayers and bondholders, perhaps. But since the crisis, banks have just not been a great asset class, the big ones. They've got all these legacy problems, what they've been fixing, all the new capital requirements, and all those things have hurt equity returns. Maybe not a JP Morgan, maybe look at Citigroup, B of A. And so if I'm a shareholder of one of these institutions, maybe I say to myself, the only way to create value is to actually break up, leave alone the regulatory and the social benefit from that. As an equity holder, the only way to unlock value is to get rid of these institutions that have been cobbled together and don't really make sense as one entity.
So as long as returns stay depressed, this argument won't go away.
Yes, you may see some convergence between shareholders and the leftist regulators out there.
Sajid, thanks very much for joining me.
Thank you, Ben.
We'll be right back.